In this Easter season, as we prepare for baptisms, and we hear scripture readings about baptism and new life and the mystery of the road to Emmaus, we can ask ourselves, were not our hearts burning? When have your hearts burned within? This is a favorite gospel. It's famous. It's classic. It's one of my favorites. I wrote a song about it a long time ago. It's not just an Easter appearance story. It's really a microcosm of the whole gospel. It's a Good Friday story. It's a Holy Saturday story. It's an Easter story. So let's review it a little bit and think about what's happening. These two people have fled Jerusalem, and they're going back to their village, Emmaus, 7 miles away from Jerusalem, back to the hill country where Jesus preached, back to where there's followers of Jesus. They may be fleeing, trying to get away from the city because they're traumatized. They're confused. They're disoriented. Jesus has been arrested, tortured, and killed, the person they placed hope in as the Messiah, as a Savior. And here he is, gone. So this is a Good Friday reading. And this stranger appears who is seemingly clueless to these two people. Some scholars believe this is a husband and wife, Cleopas and his wife, heading home, dejected. And this stranger, he says, what's going on? What things are you talking about? So this is a warning for us, the first warning in hearing this scripture. The next time you think that a person you're with is clueless or that they don't know what you know, be careful. This person turns out to be the transformed Christ, unrecognizable, which is interesting, saying something about resurrection and transformation. The transformed Christ before them, still seen as a stranger. So in the midst of this confusion, he says to them, "O foolish ones, slow of heart, didn't the prophets speak to this? Moses, isn't this what it's about? We have to move through the suffering to the glory." And then later, when they're practicing their hospitality, the stranger is seemingly going on and they invite him home. It's nearly evening, to feed him, to give him a place to sleep. And the stranger, so this is something else for us to learn, another warning, right? If someone says you're foolish for not trusting in your heart, what should you do? Invite them over for dinner. Maybe they're speaking some truth. So then at the meal, the stranger takes, he blesses, he breaks the bread, and he gives it to them. And what happens? Their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. So there's this intimacy, there's this presence, and yet the mystery is still there. They get it. They look back. Their hearts are burning. They recognize what's happening. And it's a microcosm of what we do every Sunday, a liturgy of the word and liturgy of the table. Jesus opened the scriptures for them. And then he has a meal with them. He breaks bread, and they recognize him. And this changes everything. Could it be possible? Could it be possible that this is the Christ? Could it be possible that death is not the end? Could it be possible that this is a beginning for the community instead of an end? And they rush back to Jerusalem and to tell the others and to be in community and to share their hope and their emerging joy at the possibility. And they find out that Simon has seen Jesus as well. And they share this. So, that's the history many, many, many years ago. And someone could have asked, do you think this small Jewish sect would survive this trauma and this mystery? And we can say, sitting here now, yes, because we are part of that history. So what do we learn today in hearing this gospel? What do we carry with us? As a beginning of an answer, I want to share a little story that was shared by a parishioner this week with me. He talked about his friend Larry. I forget how this came up, but he said Larry, the only thing that Larry ate, his entire diet, was potatoes. He ate potatoes every day, and he only ate potatoes. And he wasn't crazy. This was somebody who had a job at HP. He managed a lab. He managed people, but he always ate potatoes. They had him over for dinner. He would bring potatoes with him when they had him for dinner. But my point is not about Larry and whether he was wise dietarily. My point is the person telling this story remembered that, and he says something to himself each day, and that is, what's my potato today? What's my potato today? What am I going to carry? What am I going to focus on? What am I going to digest? What am I going to consume? What am I going to hold on to and take it inside? Because what I take inside affects the way I am outside, the way I behave. The story of the road to Emmaus is ultimately a story of recognition, of balance, of the ordinary and the sacred, uplifting and the grounded. It's about balance and trust, taking in all that is before us, and discerning what is holy, what is graceful, what is good. How do we recognize that, the human and the divine? How do we balance? It's like a tightrope that we're walking as spiritual people. How do we take it all, and how do we not get distracted and fall? We do that by focusing. We do that by looking straight ahead and knowing how we walk and who we walk with. How do we bring our holy selves, our burning hearts, to this same grace and love so that our inward prayers, our inward hopes become outward behavior, graceful behavior? How do we pay attention to the sacred present, as Lily said last week on the second Sunday of Easter, the eternal present that's with us now? When Jesus blesses, breaks, and gives bread before the two disciples in that little village in Emmaus, a miracle happens, a miracle of recognition. This is the one. This is the person who taught us about love. This is the person who breaks down barriers, not only breaking bread, but breaking down barriers. This is the person who heals. This is the person who welcomes. The person who heals daughters of centurions, the person who reaches out to lepers, the person who does not judge, the person who welcomes the Samaritan woman as a human being, on and on. Even the religious authorities are people to be given regard. So all are blessed, all are broken, and all are gifts. And that's what the disciples recognize, that all of this that he talked about and all that Jesus stood for is true. We need to run back to Jerusalem and share the good news. How are our eyes opened up? What are we called to recognize in our own lives and to focus on? The Irish poet, contemporary poet, Patrick Kavanagh was from the County Monaghan. It's a rainy, landlocked, often dismal part of the old country. And yet he's this great poet because he pays attention to the details and the ordinary lives of those around him, and he makes them poetry. And he writes this as a warning about looking too broadly. We have tasted and tested too much, lover. We have tasted and tested too much, lover. Through a chink too wide, there comes in no wonder. Through a chink too wide, there comes in no wonder. The road to Emmaus reminds us to pay attention to where we are and who we're with, to pay attention to the details, to pay attention to our relationships, to pay attention to the every ordinary that is extraordinary, that is grace-filled, That is our calling. That's what the mystics call us to. That's what prayer is about. It's about stopping and being still and remembering who we are and paying attention, calming all the distractions so that we can see the grace and the promise and the new life, and therefore be compassionate and be kind and be courageous. My father-in-law passed away this week on Thursday evening, 87 years old. An amazing man. And who many of us know, my mother-in-law, his wife, cared for his failing body gracefully to the very last, or to the very first, that once and future moment of dying and transition. He was an amazing man. I sometimes teased my wife, Leanne, and said, you know, I married you for your parents, right? Her mother, the active, as you know, caring, giving, moving, helping, force. And Ken, the quiet, consistent, kind, grounded person of great integrity. I never saw him get angry. I never heard him judge another person. He was amazing at paying attention. He had a congenital eye disease. He couldn't see. He couldn't recognize a lot. But he could hear in his later years. And he listened. And he asked about what you were doing. And the next time you saw him, he remembered. And he asked how it went. That happened to me the day he died. He recognized what he loved, and he loved what he recognized with his heart. He, like us, was a broken blessing, giving himself in the moment, in his relationships with his family, with his grandchildren, with the visitor, with Brother Eckhart who came at Thanksgiving. He was present and he listened. It's much better for us to listen than to talk. The moment between eternity and the now is in listening, is in being still, and being authentic. How can we be still to know that God loves us so that we can love the people around us in the moment? How can we be attentive to grace in our lives, to what is most important and most meaningful? How can we not get lost in the very real trauma that surrounds us and give ourselves to the extraordinary, ordinary grace that is around us? Pay attention and remember that God is walking with you on the road. In the name of the risen Christ, amen.